Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Do Lead. And with me today is our amazing leading lady. I am happy to introduce that today our leading lady is Carrie Dolan, and she is the founder and CEO of Opt-In, which is a great business name, by the way, Carrie. And she is on a mission to empower women who have, for whatever reason, that they've been out of the workforce, and we want to hear about your passion and what you're doing to help women opt back in. And so our topic today is empowering women to opt back in. Carrie, say hello to all of our listeners and welcome to our show today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk about this topic, which is so dear to me.
Well, and I have to say, you know, let's give you some really street credit here. I know that there is just a recent article about you in the Huffington Post. Am I right?
Oh, yes. That came out this week. Thank you.
Great article. And the question is, can women have it all? Transitional moms struggle to return to work. And I think that's our topic today. And I want to ask you, because we're going to come back to the article, but, you know, why? What was kind of the tipping point or the kind of start for you in focusing to empower women to become, you know, get your passion to help them opt back in? What's the story there? Because it's an intriguing topic for all of our listeners.
Yes. So I really wanted to help people navigate back into the workforce because all of the challenges that I had trying to opt back in after I had children. I could give you a little bit of background on my situation and what I did. And as I traveled and moved across the country for my husband's job, I kept meeting women in similar situations. So after 7 years, I said, I'm seeing a reoccurring theme here. And 56% of women that stay at home would like to get back into the workforce but are challenged and don't know how to do that. And for me, what it was I opted out to take care of my identical twins who were I was put on bed rest early on in my pregnancy. So I didn't necessarily make that choice. It kind of happened for me. I went to the doctors one day and he said, you should go on bed rest today. And for the next 8 months, there I was. So when I stayed home for a couple of years, I said, you know what, this has been really nice, and I feel lucky enough to have that opportunity to have stayed home and with my children when they were younger, but it's for me the better choice to go back to work. But I found that it wasn't so easy. Times have changed, you know, and for me, I had lost a lot of my self-esteem and who I was, which was tied to work. So, and after meeting a lot of women.
I was going to say, I didn't mean to interrupt. We'll interrupt each other the whole radio show. But, you know, I hear that, too, from women so much, is there's the angst of, I want to work, I love my kids. But, you know, even when they're babies, you know, mom's going back to work, it's such a struggle. And then getting back to work, and they just, you know, it's just not the same thing. I mean, I'm just curious about some of the other things that, you know, you kind of experienced. So after you had the twins, did you find that it's like you just kind of like, the skill level had kind of gone away? I mean, how long were you out of the workforce, so to speak?
Right, so I was in a fast-paced technology industry. So even the 9 months that I was on bed rest, a lot of things had changed. I was in video conferencing, and that, as you know now, can be done on the computer. So it was right at the cusp of things changing. So I found that my skill level had changed a lot. But, you know, what I tell other women is just because I lost a little bit of skill there, I could have gained that back. The bigger hit for me was the self-esteem. I thought, I'm no longer valuable. So I went on to have my third child. So all in all, I stayed out of the workforce for 7 years. And the, you know, you asked the first question about when was that moment for you. I felt very trapped at home. I felt I couldn't find a job. I wanted to find a job. And I remember when my then husband came home from work, he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "You know what? I'm on monsters.com. I'm just going to find a job. I was going to take a job at any place that would take me." And he said,
"Wow.
You can't even," yeah, he said, "You know, that won't even pay for childcare or your, you know, your work clothes or your gas." And I thought, "I'm stuck here. You know, I'm stuck in this place." And it was really killing me on the inside, you know, although, you know, being a parent has been the most magical and special thing for me. Working was also a huge part of who I was. I came from a middle class, you know, working family, and that's what we did. You know, we worked and we contributed in that way.
You know, I'm really curious on something, Carrie, and this is, I want to like kind of preface this and say I'm not going to go there, but, you know, it begs the question. It's like, was your husband supportive of you with your career? And then when you had children, it sounds like he just, I mean, was it that he wanted you to stay home with the kids? And was that kind of like what both of you agreed as, you know, life partners? Or I'm just kind of curious about that because, you know, I've heard from so many women that will say, "Oh, my husband wants me to get back to work, but I don't want to leave the kids." Or the other one is like you, "I want to go back to work, but maybe my husband's not so supportive." So I was curious, what was your experience? How, it sounded like that was very frustrating, you know?
Yeah, well, it was interesting because, you know, at one point during, you know, some therapy that we were going through, the therapist said, "Why don't you tell me about the conversation that you two had that, you know, Carrie, you know, you had this powerful executive position. You weren't going to go back to work anymore. I was making a lot of money, contributing a lot to the financial, you know, family." And we looked at each other, and she said, "You never had that conversation?" We both assumed at some level, like, we were both raised very similar, and that, you know, my mother stayed home, his mother stayed home, that that's what I would do. He was he's very forward-thinking and very supportive of me. But as I stayed home, and, you know, I've spoken to a lot of husbands and partners, male partners, their life, you know, is much easier when the wife is home. The kids are goes to all the sports that they want. They go to the extracurricular. The dinner's on the table. They know their kids are safe. You know, their dry cleaning's picked up. You know, so the household, you know, in some cases, you know, where I think in my situation, my husband had a long commute, you know, he just felt like it's easier. You know, you should stay home. So I think that's
And you're saying no way, yeah. Well, and I'm so again back to the original question because this is fascinating stuff in my mind because, you know, there's all those statistics out there that will say, you know, women, you know, are not doing the right behavior and they're not, you know, they're not getting into senior executive level positions because of their behavior is not exhibiting those executive level type behaviors. And I'm like, there's a lot of women that they opt out because they can't get back in. So I'm curious for you, and I know I'm kind of going about it in a roundabout way, but for our listeners, what was it then from this kind of struggle for you that you turned and said, you know what, I can empower and help other women? Because I'm really curious about that because I think this is fascinating as a topic to be able to help women opt back in. There are so many things they can do entrepreneurial-wise or, you know, part-time flex jobs, but it's a matter of knowing where those positions and things are. So what? How did you get to where you're helping others? Because I can hear your struggle. What was that story?
Well, after this, you know, moment with my husband, I had another moment where I had an idea to help stay-at-home moms that were kind of feeling struggled and trapped. So I opened up the first ever drop-off childcare center inside a regional mall, which is outside D.C. And this was my first kind of focus group of moms. So I've seen 50,000 kids come through this childcare center that's been open for 5 years. And the moms would come in, you know, they would come to the mall, which was a meeting place for them and a social place for them. And they would say, "I just need a break." You know, so they would drop the kids off and they would take 2 hours. They would sit in Starbucks. They would sit out on a bench, you know. And what I was finding, and I was talking to all these women that would come through, was that they weren't feeling fulfilled at home. So, you know, it took me many years to kind of, you know, move back out to L.A. and feel that the work that I wanted to do, which was you know, yes, help women get back into the workforce through skill development and the workshops that I'm offering, but really my bigger vision is to change the way women work. Because women, you know, for instance, like me, when I was working as a single woman working 120%, I knew with identical twins or twins at home or even just one child, I couldn't give 120%. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to manage both of that. And with 6 weeks off, you know, another issue, you know, that maternity leave situation here in the U.S., I love that more people are talking about it, but it's a real issue. My choice was stay home 6 weeks or, you know, I mean, you know, you give it up or go back. You know, there was no in between. And I just felt now with the mesh economy and Uber and all the great things that are happening with technology that, you know, the workforce is changing. You can feel it. Millennials have done they've done a fantastic job kind of demanding a more work-life balance, which we never saw previously. So when I saw that shift happening, I went back to some of my contacts and I was able to, you know, get a little bit of seed funding and, you know, get a couple of moms together and start this opt-in to really help women with all these challenges. And it's the skill development, but it's also the self-esteem. It's also what do you want to do now that you've been out for 2, 4, 7 years? So we really try to go really in-depth with their, you know, values and needs assessment using, you know, a certified career coach. Because a lot of women, they don't know what they want to do. You know, like I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I didn't want to get back in technology because that had changed. That I had done there, been there, done that. And so that's what we're trying to do at Opt-In. And the bigger goal is to change the way women ultimately work.
Change the world, baby. That's what we're all about. I'm telling you. That's what I want to hear. I love this. Well, you know, I got a couple of questions. I want to go backwards a little bit. So, you know, for you, it's like in trying to do this with women. So my understanding, Opt-In, tell us a little bit about that. Is it a consulting firm, mostly coaching? Do you do things face-to-face? Or give our listeners just a little bit about what, you know, the services are that Opt-In does, because I think it's fascinating and wonderful all at the same time. I want our listeners to know what it's all about.
Okay. So we have a six-week workshop where women can come each week and come into our facility in Santa Monica. It's local-based now, and we'll grow into having it all online-based. And they can each week, it's a different agenda. So the first week is you know, career coach, finding your passion, what do you want to do? The second week is more one-on-one individual work with the coach. The third week is on your social development, meaning your LinkedIn profile, your all those social channels, which, you know, some women don't easily navigate. And then we have a wellness week, which is really, I mean, we can set the women up and to with all the skills and interview skills and get back to work. But if her family falls apart at home, she's not going to succeed. So we do some really basic things where, like, a weekly shopping list with menu plans. So she can go on Sunday or, you know, send her partner to go to the, you know, get these 10 things, and you have 6 meals. Because there's a lot that goes into it when you do stay home and then you go back to work, and women are nervous about that. So we just try to do, you know, set them up for success. And
I love that. So for the women you're signing, it's like, are these women, I mean, just kind of give us a little bit of a profile. Are they mostly executive women? Is it across the board? You're talking administrative, clerical, executive, management. I'm just, you know, I'm kind of curious about the kind of women you're finding. Are they at, you know, a really young age, or are you finding women are, you know, with that kid level, they're kind of a little older? Just give us a little broad brush of that.
So our target women that find us are between the ages of 36 and 52, school-aged children, all sorts of different careers from I was a lawyer, I don't want to do that anymore, to as soon as I got married, you know, I stopped working. After college I got married, I didn't work. And then lots of women come looking to start their own business. They have really great ideas, and, you know, because that's a really great way for mothers to have the flexibility. That's what I did, you know, when I needed. I mean, the reason why I started a daycare center was so I could bring my kids. I used to bring my kids, you know, the baby when he was little. And it gave me the flexibility. You know, there was a saying I read recently, which is so true. It's, you know, the entrepreneur is the only one who will work 80 hours, not to work 40. I mean, I was able to set that whole entire business up why he napped and, you know, starting at 10 p.m. at night. So there's lots of different options for women, and we kind of find their passion to help them, you know, find what they want to do next.
But I think you landed on something. I mean, because, again, I see this a lot with women through our association, is that, you know, there's the guilt, there's the angst, you know, because they want to take care of the kids. And yet what's so incredible, and this is one of the reasons I think so many women are starting businesses at over now twice the rate of men, you know, as being an entrepreneur, starting a small business, is that, you know, when the mind is alive and, the batteries are fired, when you feel like you're doing something to kind of change your future and you're not feeling like you're stuck or that kind of thing, it's a really powerful thing. And I think that's good for the family and obviously good for women. There's other struggles there, but I'm kind of curious, what are some of the things that you hear about that women struggle with the most as you interact with them to kind of, you know, find that fulfillment or what they, quote, want to do next? I mean, what are they struggling with the most, you hear the most angst about? Is how to map their skills, or maybe you have some other things that you come across, you know?
Yeah, I think the biggest concern, the first thing, is how to manage that gap. You know, what do I do with my resume? You know, they're really focused. What do I do with their resume? And what we try to do is break it down with steps, you know, even before then, because that will come when you get to the interview stage and you sit down and you give your authentic message, you know, which we go over. I didn't work because I was raising the next generation, or whatever that authentic, you know, is for you. The interview, you know, whoever's interviewing you will understand. They likely either had themselves that stayed home and raised their children, or their mother did, or their aunt did, or their, you know, so people understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's people, you know, you know, I made this joke when I was on a panel one day saying that, you know, I reached out to, you know, Jeff Weiner, who is the CEO of LinkedIn, and said, I want LinkedIn profile to have a little box that says raising the future generation or taking care of the previous generation, where it's got to be more, you know, more socially acceptable that there's people out there that have to take care of other people. I mean, that's how we move forward, and that's how our country is going to succeed ultimately. And it's not looked at like that.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm like, I'd love to see that. You know, and I'm curious. I know we're, you know, like I said, we'll be all over the place here with some of these. But, you know, it is interesting because I spent, you know, over 3 years interviewing men and asking them what women do that sabotage their success in business. And what was interesting, quite a few men, and again, they understood the struggle and the angst to get ahead and get into the boardroom seats. So one of the things, you know, quite a few men shared with me is they said, you know, having family and choosing that is a choice. And it's almost like kind of like now the consequences are going to be you can't have that type of career. And again, I'm doing a lot of paraphrasing with that, but I'm curious what your thoughts are with that, because that was some of the feedback. And I have to say part of it made me mad because I was like, why can't women have it all? Or can we, or what is all? You know, what is all? Because, I mean, men would say, I don't get it all either. I have to give up certain things and, you know, there's certain benefits. But kind of curious from your standpoint, because we keep hearing this with women of it's such a same old story of I want it all or I want to find balance. And yet I think the thing in the full circle is we all as women know there is no balance. You know, it's choices and it's also kind of a navigation type thing. So what I'm curious on your thoughts of what you share with women if they do decide to stay in the kind of quote unquote workforce and opt back in.
You know, I think this is a really interesting, you know, topic, and we could probably do the whole show on this one. But what
all
I
day.
What
we
I
can do this
women,
all day, Carrie.
Yeah. you know what I have my growth, you know, throughout the years, and is that this is such a personal choice for every woman.
Yeah.
It's between her partner, and her family. This is not, you know, what my mother did, what, you know, his mother did, what my neighbor is doing, because you need to decide what's best. And when you make that decision, you know, you just hope that you surround yourself with people that will support you. There's lots of talks about the mommy wars, and, you know, and I think whatever choice a woman makes, that's fantastic for her. And she needs to move along the path that works best for her. And if that's her husband leaving his career so he can raise the kids, great, that works for them. So I just really try to, You know, and especially with the women that I meet, you know, they've already left the workforce 2, 3, 4 years. Okay, so that was a choice they made. Let's move on. Let's move to the next step. You want to find a job? You know, so focus less about, you know, why that was for you, and in the same reason that, you know, the baby boomers are now leaving the workforce to take care of their elderly parents.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's a personal family choice.
It is, and I'm curious, you know, what kind of things, you know, what's your opinion, too? Because, I mean, this is fascinating. Trust me, I'm like, I'm engaged, I'm in, I love this topic. Is, to me, it's like the society's expectations and the media expectations out there that mm-hmm. are kind of like put upon for women. I know you said it's a personal choice, but how much, you know, struggle and angst and issues are around women feeling like they have to be that woman that can do all of it, you know, have the career, not a job, and, you know, do the kind of kid thing and, you know, handle the family. I mean, I see it when younger women, I think, are seeing that men are more engaged on that level because the younger they are with the millennials that are coming up, I think men are more engaged on that. But what kind mm-hmm. of society's pressures do you see just on those expectations of women? It's almost like, you know, if you're not working, it's like, what's wrong with you? I mean, I see that, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh, it's such a choice, you know?
Yeah, women. Yes, it's very tough. It's really hard. And I've been, you know, part of that group when I stayed home and, you know, from people that I thought were very close friends. And it comes from, you know, when I stayed home, I would envy the working mother who got up and got dressed every day and was able to, you know, go to the bathroom on her own. But, you know, and then, now, you know,
sorry,
now that I'm working, I'm
that's a visual. That's a visual I can't get rid
sorry.
Of now. I'm just like going, wow, okay, thanks. So I get it. The little fingers under the door when you're like, I can't have a moment to myself.
Yeah. And then when I'm, you know, now when I'm working and, you know, the other day I missed my 12-year-old Shakespeare play because I couldn't be in two places. So you're never going to have it all, you know, so you mm-hmm. really need to be okay with the choices that you make. And you have to know that you're not going to be able to have it all and that you will miss that Shakespeare play and guarantee it she will not remember that when she's 25, you know, and just be grateful that I went to all the little nursery school plays. So that's how I deal with it. And that's how I try to coach the women that it will definitely be different when you go back to work. But, you know, you just have to keep looking forward.
I agree, and that's great stuff. And, you know, I'm curious. I know we have probably, I can't even fathom how many listeners that are thinking, oh, my gosh, this is me, you know, the struggle, the angst, all of that. And I'm curious for any of our listeners, what would be, if there's a woman listening who feels like, I mean, again, you're looking for women to opt back in, but what, can you share like a success story without saying who it is, of course, or maybe just the scenario of how you helped a woman, you know, opt back in, you know, and maybe one that would be on getting a, you know, kind of finding a different career versus one that started a business. I'd love to hear too. Can you share with us one kind of success story of where a woman opted back in and actually found, you know, the right career or job or position?
Right. So we had this this young woman who had stayed home for 3.5 years and was in a position before she left, which she didn't want to go back to. And we had arranged for her to go on an interview. And she went on the first interview, and the salary, you know, which we discussed during our workshops, was significantly lower than, you know, the 4 years ago. So mm-hmm. She came back, and one of my colleagues coached her through it. And what they came up with was, you know, we had the information that he was also looking for another position. So she said, you know what, I can do both. I can do both those positions and get, you know, the salary I want. So she went back in and she said, what about if we change the position a little bit and I do X, Y, and Z, and, you know, you, now you're not paying for two people. And so it was almost like she developed her own job share with herself.
Mm.
And I felt that, you know, just by having someone else she can talk to and engage with and counsel with, you know, they came up with this idea, and it kind of empowered her to walk in and say, you know what, I can't take it at this, but I can take on these extra pieces of the job, and, you know, you can pay me this. So it worked for both of them. So that was kind
of
interesting.
I love that story. No, I love that, because I think, you know, one of the things that's always out there is they'll say women don't negotiate, and it's not always more money or a title that women want. You know, they want flexibility. They want you know, to be able to kind of have a position that allows them to be able to go pick up the kids or whatever it is. I mean, I used to run a corporate gift business, and I used to always laugh because my best staff, I had such highly educated women that had young children, but we offered a very flexible work environment that I knew that at 1:59, they were like, I got to go. And I'm like, I got it. You're out of here. Mm-hmm. Drop everything. Go get the kids. But I also knew they were extremely loyal. They were hardworking. They were there at, you know, 8:29 in the morning after the kids were dropped off at school. And it was just that kind of thing where I keep going, why don't more companies, you know, embrace this,
yes,
that women want to work hard? And I'm just like, that pisses me off, if I can say that. So I'm like, where can
exactly
we get companies to change it?
Right. That's exactly what that I'm trying, the message I'm trying to get, that there's this powerful workforce of women that are at home that will work really hard, just give them the flexibility that they need, and they will put in the time, and they'll be loyal. You know, they're not looking to, you know, move up the corporate ladder,
mm-hmm,
you know, but they do want some flexibility. And it's amazing to me that that's not happening more. But again, that's my bigger mission, is to try to get companies to see the power in this untapped workforce.
I love that kind of square hole round peg, but it's like, you know, make the square hole round, and it's like you got a great fit now, because women just want those kind of flexible pieces. And I know we've only got a few minutes left, but tell me about the future. I know you're on a big mission. You want to be able to help women opt back in and find, you know, what skills make sense for them now and this stage of life. You know, paint a picture for all of us. It's like, what's the future look like for opt back in? I mean, you've got a grand vision, and obviously anything we can do to be supportive of that, we want to do, especially since we're both in Southern California. But what is the big, hairy, audacious goal and mission for you with opt back in?
Well, you know, like I said a couple of times, I mean, it's to get that message out to society that, you know, we need to start thinking about, you know, how women work, or, you know, how people work in general. And, you know, for me, it's just traction, you know, just getting my word out. May 12th in Southern California, I have a free workshop, which I like to, you know, have women come in and kind of see what opt-in's about. And we do, you know, kind of a real fun needs values assessment to kind of have women start thinking about, like, what do I like? You know, you're so home and all, you know, you get so involved with your kids, you don't even remember what you like to do anymore. So that free workshop's happening May 12th. And then what I'd like to do is offer more of my resources online so I can, you know, open it up to more people.
I'd
you know,
it.
Not
so
just have it.
I mean, can you share with our listeners, just if anybody wants to reach you, what's a great way to get in touch? Or, you know, if you can share your website as well, because I think if there are listeners, and it sounds like you'll take them if they're not in Southern California, right? Anybody you can work with, you know, virtual or
in person,
perfect. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Tell people how to reach you.
Yeah, so we have really great resources on our blogs and under Empower Yourself, so you can look there and see, you know, how do you update your LinkedIn and whatnot, and that's all on www.optbackin.com, OPTBACKIN.com, and then we have all of our social media on that same opt back in. So please check out our website and go to under Empower Yourself or a blog section, and there's a great article that we just posted yesterday about the new Economic Policy Institute. They came out with a study that half of the United States daycare is more expensive than colleges. So half the states in the United States, daycare is more expensive than in state colleges. That's a fundamental problem, because families can't afford for two people to work. So the woman is the one who usually takes the hit on that. So anyway, so there's lots of things that need to happen. You know, it's a little puzzle that I'm putting together.
I love what you've shared. It's like, you know, it's about changing the world. And I'm curious, it's like on your end, it's like for your initiatives and what you're trying to do, Carrie, are there any things that are on your list right now of, I wish I had, or if you can put me in touch, or anything that you want to put out there as your wish list? Maybe we have listeners that can step up and support your mission and vision as well. Anything that's prevalent on your list of wants, needs, or looking for?
Well, I think what I would say is if you have friends that you know necessarily maybe aren't fulfilled, sometimes women just kind of get in a rut and they just kind of stay, you know, tell them about this resource and tell them that maybe, you know, might want to call and talk. It's a scary step for women, you know, especially if they've been out for 15 years and their kids are going to college. I mean, so what I would say is, you know, just pass our information along to friends and family that, you know, you might need, you know, need the resource, and encourage women to, you know, find their passion.
That's pretty good. And that's, you know, that's kind of like our show. I just want to encourage all of our listeners. I don't think any of us, you know, we don't know somebody, you know, that is either, you know, a mom at home with young children or a mom that's struggling, right, with what they're going to do as far as their career to opt back in. So, again, for all of our listeners out there, if you didn't hear, Carrie, there was a great Huffington Post women's article that I know we'll try to put a link on our site as well when we post the radio show. But, you know, your website, again, is opt, O-P-T, back in, BACKIN.com. So I encourage all of our listeners to check it out. If you know somebody, send them the link. And to all of you out there, but especially Carrie, thank you for being our leading lady today. You were awesome. I always like to say
thank
awesome
you
boss.
And for all the work you do. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We're on a mission as well to see more women lead in business. So I just, you know, it's community of female power is what I always love to say. But to all of our listeners, we love that you're so loyal. It's like, you know, I get excited because next Friday, our guest, we're going to change gears entirely. And our leading lady is Alana Odess, who is the CEO of Woven Orthopedic Technologies. And I am so excited to have Alana on our show because Alana has gone through a series of rounds of funding as a woman-led firm. And they have just this incredible technology. It'll be an exciting show because our topic is on seeking investors. This is Alana's philosophy, which is no is basically yes with conditions. So if you're looking for funding, I think it'll be a great show. And again, Carrie, thank you for your time. And everyone out there that listens, one of the things we always love to say, and it's my passion, is to see, you know, if you know a professional woman and you have a colleague, please support one another. It's the biggest thing we can do to change the needle. Have a great weekend, and we will see you again on Women Lead Radio. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.